Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this time and this message. We put them into your hands. We ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. We are currently, I am currently doing a series looking at the attributes of love. The things that love does, the things that prove that love is present in our lives. We have looked at patience as a manifestation of love, and this morning we're going to begin to look at kindness as the same thing. Today we're going to consider the term itself. Next week we'll consider the term as it applies to God, and then we will consider the term as it applies to us. In our theology, there is no salvation without grace, there is no grace without kindness, and there is no kindness without love. The kind intention of the will of God is our salvation by grace through love. Our existence, our hope, and our peace all hinge upon the loving kindness of our God. Love and kindness, the two words are so inseparable that the Old Testament made them one word. By now, I hope you have an understanding of what love means. This morning, we're going to try and understand what kindness means in the kingdom of God. As far as Webster is concerned, it means affectionate and loving, of a sympathetic or helpful nature, of a forbearing nature, gentle. Perhaps for me, what was more enlightening was the antonyms: indifference, inconsiderate, unsympathetic, uncompassionate, uncaring, harsh, merciless, rough, nasty. I might not know exactly what kindness means, but I do from experience know what these other words mean. I have been those words more than I have been kind. When we choose not to be kind, we are, by definition, choosing to be one of these other things. It's an either-or situation. In this world, kindness is often considered a weakness, a hole in our armor that opens us up to wounds from others. In the kingdom, kindness is a sign of strength, that you do not fear others harming you, but rather you fear failing to help them. Kindness is not naive. We are not kind because kindness is deserved. We are kind because kindness is desperately needed. The difference between justice and righteousness can be defined by what one can do and what one should do to another. Grace is defined by neither. Grace is defined by what needs to be done for another because of the demands of justice and righteousness. Kindness is God's loving response to what he can and should do to us. It is what he must do if we are to survive and thrive before him. Our kindness is our true witness to the world of the love of God. It is unique to those who love and serve a kind God. As 1 John 4:17 states, as he is, so are we in this world. Once again, as he is, so are we in this world. If God is kindness to us, then we are kindness to them. Well, that's how it's supposed to be. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8, once again, love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there is gifts of prophecy, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Love never will. Love is kindness. Kindness bears all things. Kindness believes all things. Kindness hopes all things, and it endures all things from others. Kindness never fails. Kindness is eternal. 1 John 4:16, as I've told you before, it says this: we have come to know, which means we have learned. That's how we come to know. And have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And as we read, 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is kind. So, if we put it together, God is love, love is kind, then by definition, God is kind. By inheritance and command, we are to be kind. in the original languages. In Greek, eudokia is the word that's used for kindness, which means goodwill, kindly intent, and benevolence. In the Old Testament, it's almost always one word, loving kindness. It's unique to the Old Testament. It's not used in the New. Hesed is the Hebrew word. In the New American Standard Translation, out of the 256 times the word appears, it is translated as loving kindness 183 times. Now in the King James, this is really interesting, 149 times it is translated as mercy. So the connection between kindness and mercy is unbreakable. In Titus 3, 4 through 5, it says this, telling us that Jesus is the kind expression of God's love. If you want to know what kindness is, think about Jesus Christ coming into this world. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, there's the word again, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Christ is both the symbol of the kindness of God and the love of God for mankind, because kindness and love are inseparable. God's love was manifested by His kindness manifested in Christ. When His kindness appeared, His love appeared. Christ is proof of both. For us, kindness begins with the understanding and the importance of others to God. That's where it all starts in our heart. And it culminates with others becoming just as important to us as they are to God. Kindness occurs because you care about someone else. God gives no ministry to ourselves. He gives ministry to serve others' needs. Without kindness, no ministry can be fulfilled. Kindness is the realization that your existence in this world is about serving others, and then smiling with joy when you realize it, not disappointment. Kindness is a social term. It means nothing without others. It cannot be proven without interaction. It cannot be satisfied by good intentions, warm wishings, or caring thoughts. Kindness helps someone. Dwight Moody wrote, "Our greatest fear should not be failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter." If kindness rules your heart, you need not fear this failure. If you are truly kind, your life will have the meaning of purpose that only love can supply. If you are kind, you will do what you can to help others. What should be done is defined only by what needs to be done and is limited only by what can be done. We love because God first loved us, and we are kind because God was first kind to us. Kindness is learned from kindness. If kindness is a manifestation of love, if you are not kind, it's because you do not love as you should. As a rule of thumb, be as kind to others as you want God to be kind to you. He grants His kindness to you by the same measure you grant your kindness to others. Call it a divine incentive to be a kinder and gentler you. What you refuse to do out of love for others, perhaps you will do out of love for yourself. God's way of helping us love others as we love ourselves. Mark 4, 23 through 24 says this, "If anyone has an ear, let him hear." Well, and every time you hear that, just remember He's saying, hey, this is important. Listen up. Now, the whole word's important, but He's saying this is especially important. He was saying, take care of what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. The more will be given to you besides. In other words, if you bless people, I'll bless you beyond what you bless. If you're kind to people, I will be kind to you beyond your kindness. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly." This isn't just about money. "And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully." Galatians 6, 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Keep that in mind with kindness. It may appear to be a bit crude and even counterintuitive for God to coerce us into being kind. This is because, like love, kindness is not part of our nature. It's not what we naturally do. And there is a whole world coercing us not to be kind, because kindness makes you vulnerable, or so they say. God knows that eventually the joy of being kind and the fulfillment that it brings will overwhelm our fear of rejection and our disdain for other people. What we do out of self-concern will eventually be done out of care for others. We learn to be kind as we learn to love as we are loved by God. Kindness is a choice that God helps us make over the strong objections of our flesh. He helps us because being kind to others is really good for us. It makes our life meaningful. It makes our time here an astounding success. If you pursue no other goal in your life but kindness, you will be greeted in eternity with this welcome from your God: "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have won what could be won. You have done what could be done." Kindness, as the manifestation of love, is a true measure of our spirituality and our Christian maturity. Henry Drummond said, "The greatest thing a man can do for his heavenly Father is be kind to his other children." Our knowledge of Scripture, our wisdom in resolving issues of fellowship, our leadership skills, our motivational abilities, our ability to convey a message of God through teaching and preaching, our worship skills, our singing abilities, our skills as trustees, our giving to those in need do not prove anything regarding our maturity. But our kindness while we do these things does. Because kindness proves love, and love proves maturity in Christ. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3, the part we don't like to read about love: "If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have love, I become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing." What proves love? Patience and kindness. If I don't have patience and kindness, if I can move a mountain, it doesn't mean anything in the kingdom of God. "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. But if I have love's kindness," what the Old Testament calls loving kindness, "then I am something. I am the extension of God's heart. I profit greatly when I care not for profit." Once again, "I profit greatly when I care not for profit. If I do any of these things simply because others need me to do them, then these things are a measure of my maturity in love." How do I recognize my own motives? By asking if I see anything in return, or if I seek anything in return. Do I expect to be honored, recognized, or somehow rewarded by the church or God for my actions, for my efforts? Or do I truly desire others to be helped and rewarded by my actions? Paul understood the difference, and he explained it fully in 1 Corinthians 9, 16-19. "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, then I receive a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship, a responsibility that I will answer for, entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge." That's the only reward I'm looking for, he said. "So that to not make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free of all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more." Let's recall the compulsion that Paul's under, that he speaks of. He was stopped on the road to Damascus by a supernatural appearance of Jesus Christ. He was asked why he was doing things that were wrong, and then he was struck blind, then told exactly what to do if he ever wanted to see again. Paul didn't have to wonder what God's call on his life was. God showed up and told him. He was under compulsion for it. "If you want to see again, do this." There is no reward in doing what you are called to do. The glory is in doing it for others. It's not the act. It's the motive of the act, kindness. It's kindness that is rewarded, and it is a sign of Christian maturity. Only the kind get to sit at the table in the kingdom of God where the meat is served. Only the kind. Philippians 1, 15 through 16. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, even from envy and strife, because they're mad at somebody. They want to get back at somebody. They're in an argument with somebody. But some also from goodwill, for the right reasons. The latter do it out of love, it says, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Do I preach the gospel out of goodwill? Because I care for others? Because I love them? If I do, it will be proven by the things that prove love, patience and kindness when I preach it. Because my desire is for you to be blessed, not me. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you must be kind to all. Kindness will demand of you, and it will demand that you do more for others. This means you can do less for yourself. Good, because this allows God to do for you what you used to do for yourself. This is what Scripture refers to as dying to self and living your life to God. Without God's grace, there is so very little that separates the best of us from the worst of us. So very little. With God's grace, what separates us from each other is our kindness. The perfect bond of unity is love, and kindness is the perfect proof of that love. A loving congregation is a kind congregation. Your future is fettered to one thing alone, the kindness of God. There is nothing you can do to better your standing with God, but to help others better their standing with Him also. Be kind, and God will be kind to you. It is a quid pro quo situation. Psalms 18:25. This is also repeated in 2 Samuel 22:26, word for word. With the kind, you show yourself kind, speaking of God. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. In Luke 6:35 through 36, Jesus tells us this, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. 4, the reason you should do this is because God does it, and He did it for you. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. There is kindness and mercy once again. Love, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Lending, expecting nothing in return, is called giving. For this is what your Father does out of kindness. And don't just be kind to those who are kind to you. Be kind to those who are ungrateful for your kindness. And be kind to evil men. Love those who are hard to love, even those who reject your love. No matter what I do, my wife is determined to be kind to me. There is nothing that I cannot do that she will not respond in kindness. And this is why she will stand in front of me in the line in the kingdom of God. Kindness proves your conformity to the image of God, your maturity in Christ, your value to this world and to the church. Kindness is how the kingdom of God overcomes evil with good. Kindness makes us more than conquerors and overcomers in this life. All you need to do to be kind is love others as you love yourself, and you will be kind. Kindness doing for others what you would want done for you. This comes from the sanctifying work of God. The kindness of God is making you kinder every day. And you will never be at peace with yourself until kindness rules your heart, as proven by your actions towards others. Kindness is not a soft word. Kindness is a term of war. It is a quality that cannot be defeated by any force. Kindness is the weapon that will slay the dragons that devour us. Hate, prejudice, injustice, indifference. Kindness is the unleashing of the power of God's love upon the enemy of man and letting slip a mighty and fearless dog of spiritual warfare. Kindness is proof of a soldier's worth. Kindness is proof of the soldier's worth in the kingdom of God, and it alone will determine your rank in His army. Kindness is what grows from the fertile soil, and it aggressively chokes out and dominates the weeds and terrors that surround it. Kindness is true power that gives true meaning to any life that manifests it. Kindness makes your time here a successful endeavor, and it will do even more so for you in eternity. Kindness is an eternal quality that prepares us for the overwhelming glory we are destined to receive. You cannot receive the power and glory he wants to give you if you are not kind. Kindness is necessary in the kingdom of God. Hence, kindness is your destiny. Let's begin to walk on our destiny right here, right now, today. Amen.